Good morning. I welcome all those who tuned in this morning for this morning's worship service. Perhaps we can make a start if we can sing a hymn this morning, hymn number 582. Let us bow our heads in prayer and come before the Lord this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee, Lord, once again that we can come to Thy throne of grace. We thank Thee, O Lord, that we can worship Thee this morning in spirit and in truth. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. And Lord, that Thou dost impute righteousness to them, O Lord, who are guilty of sin. And Lord, Thou dost forgive sin through Thy shed blood. And just as Thy word says this morning, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Lord, we stand here, O Lord, in the throne, O Lord, that we can come before Thee, O Lord, as Thy servants this morning to worship Thee. Lord, we thank Thee that we don't come with strange fire, as Thou dost see the false religion of our time, that we can come to worship Thee with Thy word, when Thou didst say, come and I will give Thee rest. And Lord, we ask of Thee that Thou would give rest this morning, to rest assured in Thy word, which Thou didst say to Thy people. Help us, O Lord, to feed upon it, and to know that Thou art doing a great work indeed. Lord, as we make our stand this morning for God, Lord, we ask of Thee to come down in this meeting. Lord, we need Thee, that this place is only but brick and mortar, unless Thou dost fill us with Thy Spirit. Lord, work across even the airwaves. Lord, Thou dost see the times. Lord, times of great uncertainty. But Lord, Thou always gives a word. Thou dost always give a word in season. And Lord, we ask that Thou would truly prep the hearers, O Lord, this morning. Prep the hearts. Lord, bring the attentiveness to the things of God. Lord, shut out the things of this world, that we may be shut in with the Savior, that we are able to say that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, we believe in Thy mighty power to save, that, Lord, that thou would save this untoward generation, that, Lord, we are living, that what is being preached, that which was once right is now wrong, and that was once wrong is now right. Lord, that they are doing whatever is right in their own hearts. But, Lord, we thank thee this morning that we are found in the truth. Lord, we thank thee for thy law, even as the psalmist said, that thy law will I hang upon my heart, thy precepts will I joy in. And, O Lord, that we can rejoice this morning, not because of the circumstances of life, not because of what we have, but we rejoice because we're saved. And, Lord, we rejoice because we're on the road to glory. And, Lord, we ask of thee to come down mightily this morning to give us a word. Thou dost always give a word. And Lord, I remember at this time, even those other men preaching this morning, I ask of thy strength upon them, that, Lord, that thy word will come out. Lord, even as Elijah said, send the fire. Lord, may thou send the fire this morning. Lift up thy ears. Lord, give a word in season. And Lord, we ask of thee most importantly that thou would come down. Lord, if we meet this morning in the arm of flesh, then this meeting is but a vain meeting. Lord, we ask of thee, now is the time to work. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us turn to another hymn this morning. Number 637. I just want to bring to your attention some announcements this morning. Please remember the pre-service prayer on Zoom tonight at 5:50 p.m., which will commence for the 6:30 evening service. And the brother elder Alex Newell will be bringing the message. Remember also Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7:30 p.m., which will be on Zoom as well, and the Bible study and prayer, which will be brought by Reverend Ian Gallagher. Remember, let's next Lord's Day meeting, which would be May the 2nd, morning service, which our brother Reverend Cranston will bring the morning message. Remember also the evening service next week with our brother Elder James Fraser. Pray that the Lord will give these men strength to bring the word. If you can take your Bibles this morning, please turn to our reading in Psalm Psalm 90. Psalm 90, as you're turning there, most of the Psalms were written by David. But this Psalm in particular was written by Moses, the man of God. Psalm 90, and we'll commence our reading at verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sheep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off. We fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. This is our text for this morning. Notice verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. May the Lord bless his reading to us this morning, and his infallible, inherent, and inspired a word. Let us bow our heads in prayer, asking for the Lord's help in this morning's service. Our Father and our God, we come once again, Lord, to thy throne of grace, asking for thy help. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, that which thou hast provided. And Lord, we know that thou dost always have a word. Thou dost always have a word in season. And Lord, we ask of thee that thou would now come down in this meeting. And Lord, that thou would do the unexpected. And Lord, that thou would move mightily upon the hearts of the hearers. And Lord, that thou would prick the hearts. And Lord, that we may know that the Savior was present here indeed. Lord, we ask of thy blessing this morning. Bless everyone here. Bless the hearers of the word. Now, O Lord, we ask to bring thy attentiveness. Lord, prep the hearts. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This psalm is the only one written by Moses, and thus the oldest in the Psalter. From verses 7 to 12, we may judge that it was written at the end of the 38 years of the wandering in the wilderness. It is a prayer for the new generation of Israelites who will enter the promised land. There are four parts to this message. First, that Moses describes the eternality of God, which is verses 1 and 2. And then in contrast, he expresses the brevity of man before God. And that's verses 3 to 6. Four key comparisons are used. One, 1,000 years are like one day to God. The second, 1,000 years are like a watch in the night, which is about 3 hours. The implication of these comparisons is simple. If 1,000 years to God are like a day or a night watch, then man's life is truly but a vapor. Your life is like a particle swept away by a flood. Your life is like a blade of grass that sprouts, fades, withers, and dies in a day. Moses, I tell you, was most qualified to speak of death. For Moses knew death very well, since he witnessed an entire generation perish in the wilderness. Surely this man did know something of death. And the third part of the psalm may be described as the condemnation of man. Verses 7 to 10. Moses speaks here of the wilderness experience. And then finally he concludes with a petition in verses 11 to 17, in which he asks the Lord that the Israelites might be given God's work to do one more time. That is the work of taking the promised land. Moses preached, "May we be sellouts to God in our work to thee." This prayer of Moses, the man of God, the psalm of man's pilgrimage, man and woman's pilgrimage through this world. That Moses, a man that knew death very well, that knew that this life is only mere a passing through. And even as the commentator once said, I believe he puts it very well, this is a very gloomy psalm. I would love to preach to you about the goodness of the Lord and how happy everything is, but this wasn't the case. Something unusually arresting is solemn, sinking deep into the depths of the divinity. Moses might well have been engulfed by these sorrowful thoughts. The close of his wanderings, and the author is clearly a man who knows death. A man abundant with life experience, who here takes his stand and makes his voice heard at the close of his earthly course. The context here is a slow, sad experience of life. Well, you say, preacher, this morning you're supposed to make me feel good. Called man must preach the whole counsel of God. And therefore, we all have an appointment with death. And here, we know that as Moses, as he grew more weary and meary from the world, dislodging from the temporal things and the material things, but he clings closer and closer still to the things that are unseen, the eternal things. And such should be the effect of the right numbering of the days. Notice our text. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And as God's word tells us to teach at last, that the world passeth away and the lust thereof. Yet he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. But Moses has learned more than that. He has learned that God is from everlasting, that God is infinite in glory. It would be beneficial to us in this gloomy psalm to cheer us if we could bring thought to heart that numbering our days not merely in the numerical sense, but rather in a moral sense, that we as frail creatures have an appointment with death. It's an inevitability. You talk to any retired minister, and he always tell you, we have a short time to work. That in this world, our time is very short. As the context of this reading implies, that it is well to remember that in order that we may be doing something for God in this short time that we have. I have two major headings that I want to show to you this morning on what this text is saying. The first is how God teaches us to number our days. And the second is applying our hearts unto wisdom. Firstly, then, let us consider how God teaches us to number our days. In our text, it says, teach us to number our days. Let me tell you what the numbering of our days means. It says, a portion of the answer is, it means to realize that life is very short and very brief. And God teaches us that by the Word of God. Numerous verses throughout Scripture show us that our life here on earth is only but a passing through, a very brief time. And I just want to bring a couple of verses to your mind. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know now what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Bible makes it very clear through many illustrations to bring home to our hearts the briefness of life. But as we just read, that man's life is truly like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth. In the morning it is full and groweth up, and yet in the evening it is cut down. Another passage we see is that of the leaf in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. It is true, isn't it? How brief are the seasons? It is true that we see just once the leaves sprout forward in spring, and then we see them withering away when winter comes. Well, the same is the life of every man and woman. Thou hast made my days as but a handbreadth. Now that's not very much, is it? And all of this Moses compares and contrasts with the life of God when he says of God's age, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. In verse 4. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction. If your eyes could be only open to the amount of people that die every year. It is said approximately that there are 58 million deaths per year in this whole world. Subject to change because of the pestilence that is upon our land. That is what is meant here by numbering our days. To recognize the fact. And that is as appointed for man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The world has a different concept of death. The world will tell you to put away the material things, to live lavishly, and to enjoy life. But God's Word says otherwise this morning. It says that in Adam, all die. But you, Christian, this morning are not to fear death. As that great passage is, Hollywood likes to make a mess of the Scripture. As you see many times in Psalm 23, verse 4, as it reads, as this great verse the psalmist wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jehovah God, to take you by the right hand as you pass through the river of death, the great shepherd that tends to his flock. For thou art with me. Why should I fear the valley of the shadow of death when God is for me? Why should I fear the torments of this life when God is with me? My friend, if the Lord is with you this morning, then there truly is nothing to fear. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me as Jehovah takes you by the right hand as the great shepherd to his people. My friend, there is nothing to fear. The Lord teaches us through the experiences of others that many come to a saving knowledge of Christ at their deathbed because they're forced to think about the things of eternity. They're forced to think that all these things I worked for in my life cannot help me in the next life. They're forced to realize that when my soul leaves the body, I'm forced to meet God. Don't let it be that it takes you to be to your deathbed to realize these things. As the great prophet Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. And in Luke 12, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ brings it to our attention about the parable unto them saying the ground of a certain rich man. And we all know that scripture verse very well, that the rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And how many of those people are saying that today, that they have much material gain, they have much to gain in this world? And he said, this will I do. For I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And isn't that what the world is doing today with the pestilence upon the land? Not taking it serious. Eating and drinking to be merry. Liquor stores an essential service. Marijuana stores an essential service. But when it comes to the things of eternity, shut them down. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The brevity of life. The whole world knows it this morning. This is not a secret message. That as one man passed by a hospital window, he said, I saw a man, he was just there. And then he says, I went to see him and he wasn't there. Brevity of life. It was a foolish life because of false security. That many are trusting in a false security. The major mistake is very clear. His calculation of a long life was his bondage. And that's the bondage of this world, is the calculation of long life. Well, man has put away his insurance bonds and he has everything set up. But where does his soul stand before God? Moses, a man who knew death. He was a qualified man to preach about death. The brevity of life, he's telling you this morning, there's not much time. And then, the judgment. The world knows all about death, but doesn't want to talk about it. It's something that must be shoved under the rug. Don't talk about death. You're going to give me depression. No. It must be preached. It must be preached, the brevity of life. For the only thoughts of this world are an only early retirement with riches to glory in. And most people think that death will not come early to them, but God says otherwise with the pestilence that's upon the land. That men and women think they could foolishly outsmart death, but God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. But I tell you, this is the purpose we are to number our days, is to be ready for the last one, which when it comes, our whole Christian lives is a preparation for eternity, isn't it? It's to prepare us for that, the last breath we take, that the Lord would pour out His grace upon us in the passing through the river of death. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The preparation is nothing else except to be in Christ and to escape the condemnation in the time of judgment. And my friend, if you're not saved this morning, the Lord knows your heart, the Lord sees your thoughts. You are under the condemnation of God. Where will you stand in eternity? And then it leads us, secondly, here to applying our hearts unto wisdom. God's wisdom is not what this world preaches wisdom is. Notice the second half of our text, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The wisdom here is to understand that our days are limited and to realize the uncertainty of our lives, that death may come at any time. Christian and sinner alike, in Adam, all die. And therefore, we must be prepared to seek the way of salvation by Christ. To seek to Christ, which is the wisdom of God. For it to fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. The world doesn't fear God. Many men have prayed that we need the fear of God upon our nations. A necessary prayer, isn't it? Men and women do not take God seriously. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And I tell you to seek then to apply your hearts unto the wisdom which cometh down from above. The wisdom that God says wisdom is. The written word of God that was not orchestrated by men, but rather by the breath of God Himself. God has given us His word, which is true wisdom. Forget about the wisdom of this world. The world's message is to live life with the pleasures of sin and to live a full life fulfilling the needs of the flesh. I tell you, that's not wisdom this morning. That's not true wisdom. That's not what God says wisdom is. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom knew not God. Nor it is found in man whose breath is in his nostrils. Wisdom is greater than knowledge, for knowledge symbolizes only what one has received. Knowledge is only the gathering of facts, the gathering and retention of information. But wisdom here represents itself as a greater and finer power. God imparts His wisdom through His Word. and hear His wisdom through His Word. He whose heart is applied to wisdom has put himself in such a position that he can think divinely. Wise is the man this morning who is saved and who is preparing for eternity. That's wisdom. Preparation for eternity is wisdom. That's what Moses is saying. Forget about the temporal things. Forget about the things that you can touch and pick up and the physical things, but focus on the things which you cannot see. Have you this wisdom today? Are you taught of God this morning? Or are you taught of this world? Because it clashes. What's your stand this morning? Do you stand for the world's wisdom? Or do you stand for what God has said in His Word? It is a stand for the all apostates telling you from the political circle that what wisdom is and that what you should do. But only for them to fall in their own places, for they know not what to do. Is it laid up in the material things here on earth? For even as Jesus said, there was not a preacher like the Lord Jesus Christ. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart this morning? Where do you stand? We must accept God as our teacher. God is the only one that can impart wisdom. So teach us. That's what Moses is saying here. Lord, teach us then, says our text. He is the good teacher. The one who imparts wisdom. You want to know God? Open the Word of God. Don't seek the world. Go to the source. Just like Spurgeon said, why go to the springs when you can go to the well? Read God's Word with attentiveness and wisdom will follow. Make use of your short time here on earth and to bring to glory to God that there must be in this time a sellout for God. There must be in this time where men and women, they sell out for God, saying, forget about the things of this world. Forget about man's way. I'm going to go on and follow Jesus. That's what we need. We don't need 50-50. No. The brevity of life can seen in many times that many men did more for God in their short life than many men in their whole lifetime. And a great example of this would be the great preacher Robert Murray McShane. Notice his words. I want to read to you. It's in relation to this text. O brethren, be wise. Why stand ye all the day idle? In a little moment it will all be over. A little while and the day of grace will be over. Preaching, praying will be done. A little while and we shall stand before the great white throne. A little while and the wicked shall not be. We shall see them going away into everlasting punishment. A little while and the work of eternity shall begin. We shall be like Him. We shall see Him day and night in His temple. We shall sing the new song without sin and without weariness forever and ever. This influential Scottish McShane from St. Peter's, Dundee, that wonderful man of God, died at the age of 29 years old. But he did more for God than many generations that those who are laboring tirelessly in the church, he influenced the entire nation. His life was like several generations, and yet he was only 29. Most of the world has been influenced by the good of McShane. Well, you say, how did that happen? Well, the answer is very simple. It is, he made use of his time. He made use of his time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. If a man uses his time well to the glory of God, his influence then is beyond without telling. And that was true of Mr. McShane. And here is God clearly teaches man to number his days rightly. It's not my teaching this morning. But as God imparts his wisdom, that in the brevity of life, and we're living in a time that the brevity of life is seen so vividly, that the pestilence has taken a mighty number in quickness. It's a quick thing. That these spikes of cases are very quick. Well, as Moses preached, that this world is only a passing through. For dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. But perhaps you're saying this morning, you have conviction upon your heart and you're not saved. What do you mean by this pilgrimage? What do you mean by these things? Well, just as the pilgrim set out in Pilgrim's Progress in John Bunyan's great allegory, perhaps you're saying the same thing this morning. What shall I do to save my soul? That's your beginning of your pilgrimage. What shall I do to be saved? Is it fate this morning that you bear the weight of burden upon your back? That you can't carry, then it is time to live the pilgrim's life. Then it is time to live the pilgrim's life, to live and to walk upon the way that leads to glory. But before glory, and before all these things, and in our passing through in this world, we must all pass through the river of death. As our appointment with death, it comes at every breath we take, it comes closer and closer and closer. It's a sobering message. All must pass through the river of death. Moses knew death. He was an expert in death. All leads to glory as your pilgrimage, and all death passing through is a very hard thing. When you talk about death and the subject of this world, they don't know how to address it. They don't know how to come. How do I tell my children that one day they will die? How do I tell my neighbor that one time he's going to die? The world can't approach you with death, because it doesn't have the answer. By wisdom, they knew not God. Not man's understanding can impart wisdom this morning. And that's the whole message that Moses knew. The answer was not in Moses himself, but he's crying to God, God, will you teach us this morning to number our days? Teach me what it means, the brevity of life. What does it mean that life is only a vapor? So teach us. May God teach us this morning to number our days. that may God minister this message to our hearts. I believe God always gives a message for the people. God always gives a message for the hearers of the word. The brevity of life. Life is very short. And all must pass through the river of death. A hard thing. Very hard thing. But I want to bring to you a word from the Lord. That what God said in His word throughout all the scriptures. And as you get flashbacks of your life and you remember all the things. But my friend, remember the scriptures that when Daniel was in the lion's den, the Lord was with him. When Moses was to take the people of Israel out of bondage, the Lord was with him. When Paul was preaching the word, the Lord was with him, beaten with rods, when the world told him to shut up. Stop preaching in the name of Christ. The Lord was with him. When Samson was placed between the pillars of false religion, the Lord was with him. And when you gasp your last breath, and when you turn to God, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And death may come. The Lord will take you by the right hand. And He'll bring you across that river. A hard thing. But He'll take you to the other side. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Because thou art with me. The source of David's strength came not from himself. But it came from God. When Moses preached Psalm 90, it didn't come from Moses himself. It came from God. So Lord, teach us. Moses is crying, Lord, teach us to number our days. The wisdom of God. Scriptures preach of faith. And as you pass through the river of death, may your faith be strong. I pray to God that the Lord would give you faith. I say, well, I don't know when the passing is going to come, but that's not the message this morning. It's to teach the brevity of life. But it's an appointment with death. It will come. And I pray that your faith will be strong. And when you pass through the waters, God will be with you. And as we come to conclusion this morning, God clearly teaches man to number his days rightly. This world is only a passing through. It truly is a pilgrim's walk. We're just passing through, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. No man knows how long he has on this earth. Time does not stop for anybody. The appointment with death ticks forward every second and every breath we take, but praise God this morning for His plan of salvation. Praise God this morning that the wisdom unto this world through His Son, the true wisdom of God is Christ Jesus our Savior. That's the true wisdom this morning. There's a way out from condemnation. There's a way out from all this suffering. Well, are you prepared to meet God? And the only way you can be prepared is through repenting of your sin and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not what the world says. not by putting away material gain, not by trusting in some financial plan, but it goes upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for those who are in sin. And I want to end this morning with Charles Harrison Mason's great hymn that speaks about life as being very brief. Listen to these words. Sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. Come from darkness into light. Come, let Jesus make you right. Come and start for heaven tonight. Be in time. May the Lord bless this message to our hearts this morning. Let us turn to our final hymn, 329. Please remain standing for closing prayer. Let's bow our heads. As we bow our heads, those who are listening, if you are not saved, take heed to these words. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee this morning that Thou art the teacher that does impart wisdom. Lord, apply it unto our hearts that we may know God. But Lord, as this sober message this morning, we ask of Thee to give grace and Lord, to leave this place rejoicing in the blood of Christ, to leave this place on our way to glory, to leave this place knowing that Thou art with us, and Lord, that Thou art with Thy people. Save us from the fears of this world. Lord, may we be able to endure the fiery storms of life. Lord, we thank Thee for this message. So, Lord, teach us. Teach us this morning to number our days. And, Lord, that Thou would come down mightily at this time. Lord, save sinners. Pour out Thy Spirit upon this nation. Lord, come down mightily. Let the gospel be let loose. Give journeying mercies, Lord, for those who are leaving. Bless this words to the hearts of the hearers. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.